grief, sorrow, fear, and new life. That kind of sums up today's passage. Last week we heard about how Samuel was called to be a prophet as a young boy. Now, all grown up, he has lost some of that wide-eyed hope. The king he had anointed, Israel's first king, had lost God's favor, having arrogantly taken it upon himself to offer sacrifices and make decisions without listening for God's word. Saul had failed to lead his people according to God's will. And this troubled the prophet, who could see the negative fallout from this rejection and willfulness. Samuel grieved over Saul, a man that he knew, the relationship that they had, the hope that he had at one time embodied. Samuel grieved for the ruin that it was laid before him and that would come, for the failed battles and lost kinsmen. He grieved for a king that failed to live up to God's hope and the people's hope. He grieved for the spiral of descent that he saw Saul on, and he knew he couldn't prevent. And in his grief, God talked to Samuel again, calling him to anoint a new king. This message does not renew Samuel's hope, however. Instead, it fills him with dread and fear. Something that, if you have watched the Game of Thrones, you'll know all too well. If it's taught me anything, it's that when there's a rival for a kingship, nothing good really happens. And for Samuel personally, these stakes were high. To be the one to anoint the new king would mean he would have to go against his current king. For Saul was still on the throne. In his imagination, Samuel could feel the anger and hatred raging in Saul. He knew that if he was found out, he would be dead. Wrapped up in fear, Samuel tries to avoid this calling. But God, as God so often does, provides a way for him to remain safe. To his plea that if Saul finds out, I will die, God creates a path forward where one previously hadn't existed. So armed with a heifer as a shield, he makes his way to Bethlehem, with Saul being none the wiser. Fear is a powerful and important emotion. Fear helps us to stay alive by alerting us to danger. And in this way, it is a great gift from God. But fear, like most things in our world, can twist in on itself, causing problems. Fear can blind us to reality. There's an adage for fear, using the letters F-E-A-R. Fear is a false evidence appearing real. Most of the time, what we're afraid of, if we really think about it, if we clear away our anxieties, there is no threat. But once we are gripped by fear, either something that we think will happen or something that is currently happening, we often start making decisions based on that feeling of anxiety that dread, as opposed to the reality that's in front of us. Fear can cause us to undervalue ourselves. Fear can cause us to overvaluate the challenges that we face. Fear leads us to places that are not real. Leads us to places where we feel that we cannot cope. For the bigger the mountain we face, the smaller we look. We see this happening time and time again. Remember that image when you first heard the story of David and Goliath? What could that small shepherd boy do against that towering giant? What could Moses do against Pharaoh? What could we do against our greatest fear? And if that was all that fear would do, that would be enough. But fear also robs us of our creativity and leaves us locked into patterns of familiarity. Fear often causes us to perceive others' actions more negatively, like those villagers in Bethlehem, who with cautious suspicion asked Samuel what he was up to. Do you come peacefully? Fear. We can't avoid it. It's part of our lives, it's part of who we are. But how does fear function most often in your life? Does it most often save you from making bad decisions? Does it stop you in your tracks because you don't think you're enough? Does it make you feel or think that everyone is against you? Does it stop you from being creative when you face a problem? As Samuel journeys, we see a few places where that occurs. God is the one who creatively comes up with the idea of having an offering to get him out of a tough spot. And I wonder if, as Jesse parades his sons in front of him, whether Samuel's initial reaction was based on fear. There's that firstborn son, tall and strapping and strong, and somebody who could face Saul. And yet God, throughout the Bible, tells us, do not be afraid. And God continues to speak, saying, stop looking with your eyes. Stop looking the way you've always looked. Let go of all that is holding your back and see as I see. Look at the heart. Let your fear fall away so that you can see clearly. And Samuel stops and listens. I had to laugh this morning in my heart because it was a beautiful moment. Sorry, Kelly. No, this is good. I know that Kelly doesn't really like getting up in front of people, but she did it, and I was just going to let her quietly sneak away. No, this is good. But she was called out about the bravery. And this is what happens in our lives when we let God take control. When we let God take control, we can do things that we don't feel comfortable with. that God's calling us to do. We can do things that we have anxiety about because we're not alone. Because God helps us strip away our fears and walk out in trust. Fear is part of all of our lives. Mine and yours. And yours. It is. But think about a time when you've been so passionate and so sure that God has called you to do something that you've continued to walk. For those of you who have said you have a hard time hearing me here, you should have seen my first sermon. Our prof challenged us that we would get an A on the assignment if we taped it. And he was surprised that the entire class taped it. Apparently, we were a really eager class because I guess he'd made that pronouncement before and nobody did. Looking at that tape, you could see the anxiety in my body. And I'm going to get in trouble here. If you'd seen Richard's, he was like this, death grip to the pulpit. Getting up and talking in front of people is not my natural way of being. I do it because I'm passionate about God and that God has called me here to help break open our fears and our failures and our everything that holds us back, because God is a God of yes and a God of life. Today's reading, Samuel takes oil to anoint a king. And he walks into that moment with a little bit of fear. Maybe a little bit more than a little bit. And instead of anointing the one that would make him feel better, that tall, handsome, strong old man, well, older son, God calls him to pour it on the youngest, on the scrawny boy who's been tending sheep. And he does it. When we let God's view of the world fill us, we strip away our human fears and our anxieties. Our fear-driven images are torn away. We are able to see with a fuller picture. We are able to see the heart of the matter. And with a clearer image, we see that God has chosen us. Not because we are the most influential, not because we're the strongest, not because we have the most to offer by anyone's checklist of greatness, but because we have a heart for the Lord. When we allow our God, the love of our God, to reign in our lives, our fears and our uncertainties start to melt away, and we start to see ourselves as God sees us, loved, blessed, the new hope and new promise. And this is good news for each and every one of us. Amen. So I invite you.